SBS Radio.
Kasama natin sa programa, isang magazine deputy editor by day and a boxer by night or early in the morning, isa sa mga member ng Team NSW 2018 Elite Australian Championships, Liza Gebelagin. Good morning,
hello.
Liza.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yes, it's been a while since we had you in the program, but great to have you back.
Yeah, I'm very excited to be here talking with you.
Yes, as I have mentioned, you are one of the members of the NSW 2018 Elite Australian Championships, but boxing was not your first sports.
No, it wasn't. I got into boxing actually via mixed martial arts. So crazily, a few years ago, when my uncle passed away, it made me really question a lot of things about life. And I realized at the time I'd been too scared to try all these different things because I was worried about failing. But ultimately, we're all going to die eventually. So I thought, you know what? There's nothing really to lose.
So I was like,
what's the scariest thing I could challenge myself with? And that was to sign up for a mixed martial arts fight with no experience. And I did that in 6 months, which was insane. And the woman I fought had been fighting for 4 years. So as you can tell, it wasn't a very well-matched fight. But doing that then led me to my love of boxing, which I've continued on. And it's been maybe 3 years now that I've been boxing seriously.
Yes, but sports isn't really your thing. Before getting into sports, you were first a journalist and a writer, isn't it?
Yes, writing is my first love. I've loved it since I was a child. Getting into sports, especially seriously and at this national competitive level, came quite late in my life. So when you talk about me representing New South Wales, that only happened when I was 36. So I did want to show through my writing and through doing things like boxing and mixed martial arts is that you can be quite feminine and girly and still love words and literature and still have that other side to you. And that is cool. You don't have to be one version of femininity at all.
Though you're a late bloomer in terms of competing in sports like mixed martial arts and boxing, what are your inspirations to really get into this kind of sports and really compete high level, but still pursue and continue with your writing and your journalist's work?
I think for me is I love the challenge. I mean, boxing, the more you learn, the more you're challenged, the more you... It's almost like a physical chess game when you're in the ring. And that's what I love, just trying to work out how to outsmart my opponent. And what I found too is that boxing actually has a great flow and effect for work. So when you're placed in those really challenging situations in an office place, it doesn't make you as stressed anymore because you're able to think back to those times when you were in the ring and someone was trying to take your head off in a competitive fight, but you've kept your cool. And so then that means you can do the same in the office place.
So boxing is like your punching bag out of your journalist work.
Yeah, you could say that. It definitely is. Takes out all that extra pent-up stress. You just pops it away, which is very cool. And I found too that it's really helped in my career. I'm known as the journalist who boxes now.
Yeah, it's totally different fields of journalism and now more physical strength sports. But what challenges you have to overcome from a 9-to-5 work to competing physically?
Yes, that is a really good question because especially when we're in the lead up to big tournaments. So for example, I'll be fighting in the Arafura Games, which is this international intersport competition in Darwin, where we have boxers from Asia, Oceania and other countries competing. And during that time, I'll have to be training twice a day and then also working as deputy editor of a magazine, and trying to fit that all in can be quite hard. So what I've done is I've been able to negotiate my work hours so that I work shorter hours during the day, and then I train in the morning first thing, get quickly changed, go to work. I've got my beauty and shower routine down to 15 minutes and then straight off to work until from 10 to 4:30, and then after that back to the boxing gym for my training. And so that's how I've been able to manage it. I've been lucky that my editor is so supportive of female athletes that she's let me create this routine that works. So that has helped a lot too.
And where is rest and sleep there?
Oh, yeah. So I end up going to bed quite early at, say, 9 o'clock every night. And then I'm up early at 5.
Wow.
And I have one day off a week on Sundays. And then also too, as I get older, I'm trying to listen to my body more. So if it means that on some days I might have to just train the once that day instead of twice, then I'll do that too, because I know that recovery and sleep is just as important as the actual training itself.
Given that mixed martial arts and boxing are both physical sports, which is harder, MMA or boxing?
Definitely MMA. This is why I didn't continue with it. And it's just a personal thing, because I was quite terrible at the groundwork. So that's the jiu-jitsu and the wrestling component. And I'm much better at stand-up, which is the boxing. Plus, you also have to consider that when I had that MMA fight, the gloves that we use are really thin. So you can really feel the punches on your face. Whereas the boxing that I do now, we wear 10-ounce gloves when we fight. So even though the hits can be quite hard, it's not as bad as being punched with those MMA gloves. So I definitely take boxing anytime over MMA.
So yeah, you'll choose boxing over MMA.
Yes, absolutely.
But what fulfillment do you get from doing both, being a journalist and doing sports or boxing?
I think for me, it's accessing or allowing different parts of my personality to shine, kind of like what I was saying before. I think growing up, I was under the impression that being a girl, you had to always act a certain way. You just had to, if you're into books, then you were a total nerd and that's all you could be. But I am a nerd and I also like to box, and I feel like it's empowering for people to see examples of women who don't necessarily fit the mold of what you expect, and it allows other women to really shine themselves. And if they have some weird interest that people don't expect of them, then that's fine. They should go and pursue that. So that's what I love about both. And I also love too that with my writing, I love telling stories of other people that really inspire them to make a change. And I feel like with boxing itself, being that example too is really important to me.
So you're open to more stories about sports or women getting into sports, really?
Oh, yeah. That's a big part of my job on the magazine, is to find those inspiring stories of sports women. And there are so many of them out there.
A while ago, you mentioned about Arafura Games, which will be happening in May.
Yes.
You will be competing at that Games, isn't it?
Yes, in Darwin. And that's going to be... that's an international competition, and I'm very excited because it will be the first time that I've been able to fight international boxers.
How are you preparing for it?
At the moment, like I mentioned earlier, I have to train in the morning and the evening on most days, but that is not just straight boxing, it's a combination also of strength and conditioning training with my husband, who I am lucky happens to be a trainer as well.
Yay!
And then, such a plus. And then a lot of sessions with my boxing coach, Ben Saba, who also happens to be the WBC Asia welterweight title holder. So he's amazing to learn from. And then we also have to do sprint sessions on a rowing machine, which it kills you. It's the worst thing. I don't recommend it to anyone. A run a week, and then sparring, which is where we practice. Basically, it's simulating the conditions of a fight where we're practicing against each other, but wearing thicker gloves. And it can be quite crazy, but not as intense as the actual fight itself. Those are the components of my training. And I try and make sure too that I've really focused on recovery. So I have magnesium salt baths. I try and go to recovery centers where I use these, they're called compression boots. And if you imagine You know when you get your blood pressure and get the thing wrapped around your arm?
Yeah.
Imagine something like that on both legs. And then it goes up and down your legs for half an hour, and that's great for recovery too. So, yeah, just things like that.
As a boxer, is it important to always aim to win a fight?
I think as a boxer, yes, because you don't want to go into a fight already thinking that you're going to lose, because then you already lost the fight, as the old cliche goes. But I think the most important thing too is not to go in there, not to take easy fights just because you know that you're going to win. And like I said too, what I love about boxing is the challenge and being constantly challenged. So for me, stepping up another level like I did last year by representing New South Wales in nationals, even though I'd only had 14 fights and the people I'm fighting against have had so much more experience, going in there wanting to win but just falling short, I mean, that is huge in itself. And I feel like, as another cliche goes, the what is great about boxers, what defines a really good boxer, is to see how they respond to failures like losses, and they get back up again, and they're back into the gym training again. And I think that's the key characteristic of an awesome fighter.
What do you intend to do for the next 5 to 10 years? Are you sticking with your pen or continue to wear the gloves?
I'm hoping both. I still love to do both. Still love to pursue writing and editing, and I'd love to finish my book that I've been working on that MMA experience too, from when I went from total nerd word to then fighter, because it was just such a huge change. And I still imagine or can see myself boxing well into the master's years, which is the competitions they have for people, for boxers 40 and up. Mm-hmm. And maybe even teaching a few boxing classes too one day, just for fitness, not for fighting, just to encourage people to fall in love with boxing the way I did. Yeah, that's what I'd love to do in the next 5 to 10 years.
And what's your goal for Team NSW, or are you going to go for the Team Australia?
Well, I think my goal is set on Arafura again this year, and I'd love to win. That'd be awesome. And that's what I'm looking forward to doing here.
People may see you strong in the ring or in your previous MMA fights, but is there a vulnerability in you? If so, what is it, and how did you overcome it?
Yeah, of course. I think too, people don't understand one of the most vulnerable times in your life is being in the ring or being in the cage when someone has their sights set on taking you out or winning. But then just in day-to-day life, I am actually a very sensitive person, and I think this comes out in my writing. I have a lot of empathy, and with, say, boxing and that kind of fight training, sometimes because you're pushing your body to its absolute limits, there are, of course, times where you have to cry or you break down because you're having a bad day. Or then if you've had a terrible loss, those are the times when you feel so raw and then you wonder why you love boxing. I've said this a few times. I think of boxing as having a really complicated relationship with someone you love and hate, because there are times when the highs are super, super high and you're on top of the world, but the really bad losses can really get to you. And like I said, those are the times when you can really see who you are, is when you have those terrible times and you find a way to pick yourself back up and then go back at it. And a lot of that has to do with the kind of people that you're surrounded by. Like, my husband is awesome. My coach, Ben, and the girls in my team, they're so supportive and so great. And you kind of learn from these experiences and take them into your personal life too. That if you have those vulnerable times, you don't have to do it all by yourself. You can ask for help. And I think that's really important.
And Lisa, can I just ask, with the 14 fights that you had, how many did you win and how many did you lose?
Oh, good question. And I don't know the answer to it. I've lost a few, definitely. But then I've won gold at the King of the Ring tournament and the Novice Titles tournament when I was working my way through the ranks. And then I got silver in the New South Wales state titles last year, And then, yes, like I said, I lost in the nationals tournament last December, but I was super proud of what I had done. And that is in stark contrast to I lost, I think it was the world qualifiers. So I got to represent New South Wales in the world qualifiers. And that loss, that was a devastating loss that I was telling you about earlier, where you're like, why do I do this to myself? No one's forcing me to box. But then, yeah, like I said, ups and downs, yeah.
Sure. I know you've mentioned that there are times that you question yourself, why do you continue on boxing? But what does being a strong woman mean in today's time and society? And for you working as a journalist while fighting in the ring?
I think to be a strong woman these days, wait, let me go back. So I feel like back in the 80s, to be a strong woman, you had to take on male characteristics. Like you had to look strong. You had to act like a man in the workplace to get ahead. But I feel like being a strong woman now is about, you know, embracing the femininity, embracing those traits that are very much not associated with being strong, like the vulnerability, like the, as I said to you earlier, and just, you know, owning it. And I think that's what it means to be a strong woman these days, just knowing who you are, owning it, and then doing your best to succeed.
For those who feel like they're weak, at a loss at times, how would you inspire them?
Well, this goes back to when I told you about how I ended up starting my MMA fight. And that was when my uncle passed away. And back then, I was not in a good place. I was really sad with his passing away, what my career was like at the time, with my personal relationship, and I was at a total loss as to what to do. And I read this book, and it said, those who succeed are the ones who are willing to put themselves into uncomfortable positions. So that's when I decided to do one thing a day that scared me, even if it was the littlest thing. And by little, I mean really little. Like, I used to be scared of answering my phone. Like, it used to give me anxiety. So then I just took on little challenges like that. So then I would answer my phone, and then maybe the next day I would be okay to get lost around the city in my lunch break and take a new route. You know, those little things every day. That's what I did. Or even, you know, having those hard conversations with people that you love because you're scared that they won't take it the right way. So I built it up slowly and slowly until I got to this ridiculously big one, big challenge, which was having the MMA fight. So that's what I would say. Start small. Do one little thing that scares you a day.
And maybe don't fear to fail?
Yeah, because I think failure is a part of life. You cannot escape it. You know it's going to happen. So just embrace it. Like, if I fail, I totally own it now. And that's okay, because if you're scared to fail, then you don't get to live life. You know, you end up being cocooned in this little safe haven, and you might not ever fail, but you'd probably be pretty bored too.
Thank you very much, Lisa Gebelagin, and all the best to you.
Salama. Thank you, everyone.
sbs.com.au/Filipino.
Tell us what you think. Rate this podcast on iTunes. It helps other people to find us.